As you, some of you know, we're studying the book of Daniel in our Sunday school class down the hall. And so we thought it would be nice to have Daniel come as a guest, but we couldn't get the prophet, so we got the next best thing. Daniel Nguyen, who has spent a lot of time in doing mission work in China. He now lives in the United States. He's sponsored by Advancing Native Missions. He's the founder and head of China Reach Ministries. And he's going to tell us a little bit today about himself and his ministry. And before we start, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for having Daniel here today. And we ask your blessing upon the meeting here, that you would refresh our minds and our hearts so that we might love you with all our hearts, minds, soul, and strength, and love one another as you commanded us. And let your spirit be among us, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Good. Okay.
Turn it off.
Okay.
Turn it off whenever you're ready.
Sure. Okay. Good morning. Yeah, thank you so much for having us. And my wife Maggie is with me. Great, Ajay. Yeah. So, and this is a beautiful morning. We come to Atlanta. Wow, right now we live in Missouri. So yesterday we drove for about 12 hours, and so wow, we're looking forward today because we want to see the saints in God's house. Yeah, so good. Praise the Lord. And as I want to before we start, I want to ask you this question. Are you in love with Jesus?
Yes.
Are you in love with Jesus?
Yes.
Hallelujah. You are in love with Jesus. So am I. So am I. But really, when we come to the love of Jesus, we know actually he loves us first. The whole love process for us, we love him, it's because he loves us first. God said so clearly, you know, in the Bible that God so loved the world that whoever, he gave his one only son, whoever, believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And this love starts from him, That love I first experienced as an atheist. I was born and raised in China, of course, China then was I was born during the heydays of Cultural Revolution. So atheism was the only thing I knew. I was taught in school, and from week to week, and we didn't attend churches because I never saw a church, never met a Christian. Week after week, we just go to attend the Marxism class. So you can imagine then, I have very strong atheistic worldview growing up. But I was born in countryside, and as a peasant son. For peasants, we are the second class people in China. So for us, we really want to get out of the peasantry. But for me, my parents sacrificed everything for me to get a better life. And I studied very hard and got into college. I'm majoring in chemical engineering. Wow, with engineering study, you are going to have a good job, and a good job means good income. Good income means good life, right? And for us, even socially, it's uplift. We're going to move out of peasantry. Good, great achievement for a peasant boy. But when I got into college, I just bumped into those questions. And I just couldn't get rid of them. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where I'm going to? As a chemical engineering student, this question doesn't make sense. It's not taught in, my class book, but I just couldn't get rid of it. Because all the, evolutionism, atheism I have, received in my education told me I'm just no different from an animal when reduced to elements in the periodic table. When we are down to ashes, They just tell us we are no different from animals. But deep in my heart, I know I'm different from an animal. I'm not a pig. I grew up in farm, in our province, we raised a lot of pigs. I saw them, every day when I was young, but I know I'm not a pig. I'm much more valuable than a pig. But if I'm more valuable, if there's something else, what's there? Remember, I have those questions in my mind. I couldn't get rid of them, and I don't want to identify myself with a pig. And then, I bump into a college student called Connie. She is a very, active, very loving girl who heard gospel from Maggie just very recent and in her college. And as a new Christian, actually, she was still seeking. She was debating what's going on with, evolutionism, creation, we're created by God, but we have been told we're, evolved from monkey. He was struggling. She was struggling, but she gave me a Bible. I was totally shocked that the Bible still exists in China. Because what Marx has told us that religion is a spiritual opium, and the religion is going to be wiped away, put in the dustbin, in the history, when the history moves forward. So I was thinking, Connie, you are modern educated Chinese. Now you are giving a thought to religion. You are going backward, not forward. Because Marxism also tells us, we always move forward. And now you are moving forward, backward. What's wrong with you? Your mind must, went wrong. But on the other hand, I saw the change of our life. As a change of her life, I began, what's going on? What went wrong with you? On the other hand, what's working for you? I want to find that, because I have all those questions in my mind. On February 16, 1990, I was finally admitted to a secret Christian meeting. Of course, that was after the student movement. Maybe, I don't know if you are familiar with, 1989, the June 4th thing. And I wasn't in Beijing, but I was in Chengdu, and I'm a short person, right? So I couldn't see much, so I climbed up on a tree to see what's going on. Yes, that's really, I was, wow, what I saw totally changed my perception of communism, because that's the only thing we knew, only been taught. I thought that could only happen in capitalist country. It was shooting, it was beating. That's what I thought. But now, in socialist country, it cannot happen. But I saw with my own eyes. So after them came and, I began to think even more about those questions. So on February 16, 1990, I was admitted to a secret Christian meeting because I was vetted, scrutinized by Maggie's group for half a year because they don't want a spy to come into their group. But anyway, so they found I was reliable, so they accepted me to their meeting. As soon as the American missionary finished presenting the gospel, the love of Jesus became really powerful upon me. And I just cried to Jesus. I said, Jesus, I want to accept you because you have died for me. I have worshipped, I have worshipped Karl Marx. I worshipped Chairman Mao. I had a lot of heroes in history, but none of them, died for me. None of them died for me. And they didn't even know my name, because actually they are already gone. When Chairman Mao standing on the Tiananmen Square with, millions of Red Guards, before him, when he waves his hand, the whole millions of Red Guards shout to him, seeing him as a god. But you know what? Chairman Mao knew none of them, but this Jesus, and he didn't, I didn't know him, I was so ignorant of him, yet he died for me. I cannot imagine anything bigger than that, so I reached out to Jesus, and Jesus took firm hold of me, and once an atheist, I'm not a follower of Jesus Christ. I couldn't imagine, I could stand here before you to share what God's work in me. Because when I was in college, atheism began to crumble because I love, you know, Marxist philosophy. But I began to dig more into that. I find it's very hard to believe because their basic foundations are self-contradicting, not, coherent. So there must be something, in the universe higher than human being. But whatever is there, I say, it just could not be Christian God. But God, sent Jesus for me. And, sometimes later, I began to realize Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While I was still sinners, I was so ignorant and denying Jesus, and Christ died for me. That's what happened to me. So today, I believe, Jesus, dies for us, you and me, and God loves every one of us. And if an atheist can be overcome by the love of Jesus, and I think, anybody we think impossible, really, in the world, can receive the God's love, and we are his vehicle, we are his servants to do that. But of course, what should I do when I'm loved by God? For me, that I become very clear. Just love Him. Because when we call God, when we pray, what our Lord told us to say, our Father in heaven, right? And that was when we call our God in Father in heaven, to our Oriental mind, that means a lot. Because a Father is very important in our Oriental culture. When I read that, I say, wow, our God is our Father in heaven. I mean, I have a relationship with him. I was born and raised in China. I grew up with, presenting incense, those fruits or meat to ancestors, to the Buddhist idols. But I never call those idols, Buddhist idols, Father. To my knowledge, there is no any other religion who calls their God Father. But when I read Jesus told us, call this God Father, I feel that we are just privileged to have this relationship. But as in any relationship, that's a two-way street. I mean, relationship is two-way. God loves us, that means he desires us to love him. And we are the parents, we love our kids. Is it wrong to expect our kids to love us? Absolutely not. I mean, we desire our kids to love us. And, we have this relationship with God, and so God, desires to love him. So God actually loves us first, and it's only reasonable for us to respond to his love, with love. To respond to his love with love. Chinese has a saying that one drop of water received at a time of need should be repaid with an ever-flowing fountain. Of course, I cannot operate Christ. His sacrifice is for everyone. I can do nothing compared to that. But it's only reasonable for me to love him, to respond to his love. So I worked as a chemical engineer after college. With a chemical engineering job, you are not very wealthy, but you had good pay and a good life, right? But Megan and I were taking all the opportunity to share the gospel with the workers in the factory because we feel God loves us and our life has been transformed so much. We have the joy, we have the forgiveness, and we have the peace. We just want other people to share this, this gift from God. One day when I received my paycheck, God spoke to me. He said, Daniel, how is this in your hand? Compare with one soul for me. You work for a month for this. Can you spend 30 days to win one soul for me? Because I was zealous to share the gospel, I work as an R&D department, as a chemical engineer, I mean, it was very tough, and my mind was racing all the time with the projects, and I didn't really have much time to serve the Lord. So the Lord spoke to me, and Megan and I quit our job in Southwest in southern China, that's near Canton, and sister may know about it. It's very close to Hong Kong, where it's much wealthy and more industrial. But we went to Northwest to evangelize people, to share people with about good news. So I want to ask you these questions. And how did you respond to Jesus' love for you? Has it motivated you to do something for him and his church? This question is for me and is also for you. So I would invite you to take these two questions home. When you read the Word of God, when you pray, you know, just think about these two questions. And how do you respond to Christ's love for you? You know, short after, you know, I came to Christ, a missionary gave me a Bible with cross-reference. And many of you carry your Bible, you know what a cross-reference is about. But to me, that Bible was brought into China creatively. That's another way of saying smuggling into China, you know. And, I saw that the first time for me to see a Bible with cross-reference. I never seen that before, so it immediately became a treasure. I took the risk of writing my name on the front page because I don't want to lose it. But one day Pastor John came to visit me, and while enjoying fellowship, I forgot to lay aside, put aside my treasure. I just lay aside next to me. But Pastor John took notice of my treasure, and his eyes were glued to my treasure. So he began to ask me, he said, "Daniel, may I have a look at your Bible?" You know, what could I say? You know, he's older than me, and in Chinese culture, you never say no to people older than you. So I had to give to him. But Pastor John didn't just have a look. He had many looks at my treasure. And he was telling back and forth, newfound treasure, and he was just reading my treasure with no sign of putting down my treasure. Then I'm in trouble. I began to ask myself, what should I do? Should I give my treasure to him, or should I keep to myself? You know, I don't want to give it to him because, you know, there is no guarantee I can get another one like this. But on the other hand, Pastor John, takes care of more than 1,000 believers in various locations, and he has nothing but just a regular Bible with no other aid. I mean, that's obvious, and so in the end, I'm glad I gave my treasure to him. And Pastor Zhong was one of the 7 founding leaders of that small church network in China that has 500,000 Christians. So praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. So while communist government has tried all means to wipe out Christianity, the number of Christians has grown from 750,000 in 1949 to more than 100 million today. And despite persecution, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We can only say this is God's work. Nothing can stop God. When we watch TV, when we read headlines today on news, most of them are very discouraging. But nothing can stop God in China. Nothing can stop God in Middle East. Nothing can stop God in North Korea. And as he, has continued to bring people to him, in China, in other countries, we heard great reports about the Muslim world. And we pray for them, and then we pray that God will have waves of revival Muslims among Buddhists, among atheists, and God continues that great work, and as he did, and he is doing in China. So with 100 million, Christians in China, you can imagine how much Chinese pastors need help. So when I look at my little treasure, a Bible with cross-reference given to, Pastor Zhong, I feel, I began to experience a little bit what an intrinsic part of love, that is sacrifice. I think we will understand, sacrifice is an intrinsic aspect of love. I cannot imagine any love without a sacrifice. God sacrificed his own son for us. He it's appropriate for us to sacrifice something for him. But sacrifice is not to give something extra. And in our storage house, we no longer use. Sacrifice is always giving something very dear, very important. to us, for to us and to God. I mean, something important and dear to us, but we give that to God. That is true sacrifice. But you know, when we give that to God, and it's very powerful. Like the little lunch the boy gave to Jesus to feed his 5,000, you know, the little treasure, I gave away, bless the tens of thousands, you know, people through Pastor John. So this morning, I want to ask you, what's your little treasure you are going to give to Jesus? What's your little treasure? And what sacrifice can you make for God's church and for his kingdom work? You know, but for us, and as we mature in Christ, and as we even, you know, it's not, Christian life is not always, you know, uphill. You know, we all go downhill, uphill, and then as we mature in Christ, I began to feel, Lord, just take me. I want to hold back my treasure, but you want me to give that to him for your kingdom. So I began to learn to release. But now, God even asked us to do an even greater plan. And that is, he has a greater plan for us. That is, now he's stretching us to love people, to share Christ's love to people who are different from us. So you may ask, hey, Daniel, you are Chinese, and you are going to China as a missionary. So why, what are you talking about when you have to share God's love to people who are different from you? Well, yes, I'm Chinese, but I'm Han Chinese. Maggie is Han Chinese. So my children are Han Chinese. So what is Han Chinese? We are the 92% of the 1.4 billion people in China. So we are the absolute majority, dominant majority of people in China. But there are 550 people groups in China. Among them, 456 are unreached. You know, I know I'm Han Chinese. I want my kinsmen to receive Jesus Christ, to have the salvation. God loves my kinsmen, but he also loves the people who are different from me. The other 549 people groups. And, actually our Lord made it so clear that let's go back to this slide. The Lord made it so clear that the end will not come until the gospel of the kingdom is preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Not just to America, not just to Han Chinese, not just to, you know, a few people groups, but to the other 549 peoples in China. Because God loves them as they love me. They love us. And God loves you as he loves other peoples in Atlanta, in Georgia, in America, in the world. God loves all nations. He wants his gospel to be preached as a testimony to the in the whole world, as a test, you know, to all nations. So in 2002, I was studying in Singapore. I was seen to almost complaining to God. I said, if you had sent all missionaries to China, it's not enough to reach my 104 billion kinsmen. You know, in Singapore, which is a free, affluent, you know, comfortable place compared to China. So I was, but I was back in China, as an evangelist, so my heart was aching for the tens of thousands of my kinsmen, you know, perishing without Jesus Christ every day. Whereas I was in Singapore enjoying a freedom, you know, the comfort, the affluence. Of course, I was studying theology, getting preparation, but still, you know, you have all these kind of goodies, you know, in Singapore. So my heart was aching. So I began to say, ask God, God, please send all missionaries to China to reach my 1.4 billion kinsmen. But God gently reprimanded me. He says, that may be in two, it's not enough to reach your 1.4 billion people. But I have also called the church in China, my church in China, to obey the Great Commission by going to all nations, not just all nations to China, but China need to reach other nations, not just your own people. Your church also need to care for other peoples. So that paradigm shift really changed me. So when I finished my theological training in Singapore, I returned to China and I started a church in Kunming, Southwest China. And I was privileged to witness the powerful love of Jesus for other people. There is a sister, I call her Sister Ma, in our church. She was crying like a baby when she was baptized. As usual, I ask people who baptized, to give their testimonies. So I ask Sister Ma, hey, now, you are baptized, you are crying. Of course, I don't want to, mention that because it's kind of embarrassing. She's older than me, I don't want to say that. But I say, now it's, so we give everybody a chance to share the testimony. So it's when her turn comes, I say, please tell us, why are you baptized? How do you feel? Well, this is what she said. He said, I'm Hui. It's a people group, Muslim people group in China with 11 million in China. I'm a Hui. As a Muslim, I have never shed a tear for 60 years. Even when I was, beaten by my father as a child or beaten by my husband, I've never shed a tear for 6 years. But this Jesus made me cry. She was, 60-year-old lady in the swimming pool where she was baptized. She was crying like a baby. He says, he loves me. His love breaks my heart. And so we see, I witnessed the powerful love of Jesus for other people. She's a Hui, she's not a Han Chinese. So now God entrusts us with a new vision. So I founded a ministry called China Reach. So we have a booth, a table outside. So you are welcome to see the brochure, take our brochure, our prayer cards, and sign up for our newsletters. When we finish this, and we just ask, when we started this vision, we realized, as we receive the missions, China must also obey the Great Commission by becoming mission sending nation. So we ask God to transform China from a mission field to a mission force. When I look at the missionaries, crossing the desert, the Silk Road, wow, boy, there was no airplane. We have some pilots here. So, in 7th century, Nestorian, missionaries cross all those deserts coming to Chang'an, our capital there. Sharing the gospel, wave after wave of missionaries came to China, and they perished in China, and suffered greatly, But, God never stops loving Chinese. God never stops loving China. But he also called China to respond to his Great Commission. We need to become not just a mission field, but become a mission force. So our ministry is to reach to equip the church in China, to send out the Chinese missionaries, to reach the remaining unreached people groups within China and beyond. So I have all those, we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. So, please pray for us and support our ministry. And our mission is to mobilize Chinese missionaries to go out to reach unreached people groups, both within China and beyond. Because God calls us to be his missionary, I think this is not something new, actually, because God, it's not invented by me. This is not invented by me. God has already done that. God already started the whole thing. I often tell myself, Daniel, you need to remain humble. You are not the inventor of this whole thing. I often remind myself that God started this first. I'm just hopping on that. And, I, You know, I don't know, I've never served. Maybe if you ever served, you know, you didn't start the wave, right? Wave was there. You just hop onto the wave. So I think this is what God is doing in China. God is already starting, preparing the church in China, prepare the country for the missionary movement, Look about, let's think about that. We have a heart for Muslims, right? Do you have a heart for Muslims? We want them to hear the really good news, not the bad news, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because that brings salvation, that brings freedom, that brings forgiveness, that brings love, not hatred. You know. So, but God has prepared the country in China. China maintains very good relationship with the Arab world, very politically. So China is gaining international influence. You know, good or bad, you know, that's how you perceive. But at least, you know, for when we talk about Muslim world, there is no problem for Chinese to go to, you know, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq, because we don't have political trouble with them. We don't have a historical baggage. I mean, I was meeting some, you know, Chinese missionary to Pakistan. You know, he said, you know, Pakistani welcome Chinese because they don't have the crusade kind of that baggage with our back, and they never assumed Chinese are Christians. Because in fact, he said, and I met him in January, this missionary, he says, when we were in Pakistan, people think, oh, Chinese. Yes, Chinese, we are good friends. You know, we buy weapons from China. Yes, you know, and we have a very good, solid, you know, international, you know, relationship. But never thought that you Chinese are Christian. Well, this made me think, maybe we don't really have to be Muslim. If Chinese, you know, can become a Christian, why not Pakistani? So I think it is God is doing something, has already started something that we just hop onto that. So it's not, so as again, you know, I'm saying that, you know, Maggie and I, you know, I just have the privilege of jumping, you know, hop onto God's, you know, wave to prepare for the Chinese missionary. Of course, we could, you know, step back and say, okay, God, you do what you do, and I enjoy my life here. But no, I think that when we say God loves us and we want to love him to respond to his love, and he invites us to hop on his wave. And so Maggie and I, you know, are the fruit of missionaries, without the missionaries, without the churches that send them. And we don't know where we would have been today. But as a fruit of missionary, now we want to go as your missionary in order to train and equip the church in China to send out tens of thousands of missionaries, you know, to reach unreached people groups in China and also in other countries. So as I mentioned earlier, there are 456 unreached people groups in China. And I can never forget the people and the gospel breakthrough among Taolo people, a previously totally unreached people group in Yunnan province. After riding 10 hours on a van and 2 hours on a farm truck and 2 hours, you know, on the on motorcycle, and then we overnighted at the village. And the next morning, five hours of hiking, and we reached this village that is about 200 miles away from us. It took much longer time than we drove from Missouri to Atlanta. But all these 19 hours on all kinds of transportation is worth it. Because 25 Taolo people came to Christ. Not only 25 people, Taolo people came to Christ, but that's the first time in the history of this people group. So, you know, we are happy for them, but we are happy for the gospel breakthrough among this people group. And you know who is the happiest in the universe? Of course, God. Because he wants his creation to come back to him. And also, even more so, he wants to hear the Taolo voices praying him. Because that's the first time in history. And so, again, you know, when we just imagine, you know, there had been no Christians in Atlanta. Just imagine. I know Atlanta is a very big city, right? But just imagine millions of people in A-Town, right? Is Atlanta called A-Town? in Atlanta, has no Christians. There were absolutely no Christians. How can people, millions of people in Atlanta, ever come to know Jesus? There is no way they can know Jesus except some missionary come to this Atlanta. But one day, you know, a church sent a missionary to Atlanta, and he came here, and he shares gospel. A few Atlantanians, you know, accept Jesus. You know what? From this hand of Atlantanians, you know, the city can be reached. And also, you know, for the first time, there will be praises, sings, worship with Atlanta flavor, you know, reaching God for his throne in heaven. So that's for us, as Christians, that's the best offering we can make, offer to, you know, give to God. You know, so can you imagine tens of millions of Muslims, tens of millions of Buddhists, you know, millions of, North Koreans embrace Christ for the first time in the land, in the culture. So I want you to believe it with us as we go as your missionaries. So by God's grace, we are, with the training resources we developed by us, our ministry, we hope to, by 2030, to train 23,000 mission-minded Chinese pastors and train, 5,700 Chinese missionaries through partnership. We want to partner with underground Bible schools, underground seminary in China. So using the resources we develop, training programs we develop. So here is how you can join us in this movement. First, we all need to grow strong in God's word, because that's our foundation, our faith. I mean, apart from that, we're just, social programs, and no different from any other charity or any other social efforts. But that's our foundation. We need to grow strong in God's word and grow strong in our faith. And also, pray for missionaries. And pray for missionaries. And a prayer is essential to empower missionaries to effectively bring about gospel breakthroughs. One of the main reasons, think about the unreached people group. Why they are, unreached? One of the main reasons is that they are blinded by the spiritual forces, spiritual darkness in that land. When I was in Lhasa, in that Buddhist temple, I saw this beautiful girl, 20 plus some years, beautiful, beautiful in prime age. She was there. I was, she has broken Chinese. I had, I couldn't speak Tibetan. I was trying to show that is the way of Jesus. And she was there after 9 months of pilgrimage of prostration. She was there to do 4,000 prostration every day. And yet I was standing here, there. I paid nothing to receive Jesus' salvation. I want her to know that you don't have worked that hard to gain your salvation. You can embrace Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, you see such a spiritual darkness that, really blinded her of saying that. But a prayer is the weapon, is the means we can engage that. So pray for missionaries. And then, prayerfully consider regularly supporting church's mission program and missionaries. And financial giving is our act of love for God and for his kingdom work. So as I mentioned earlier, we have some ministry brochure and prayer cards for you. And please help yourself and later. And because of safety reasons, our ministry has no website or we are not on any, social media. But we want to keep you informed. So please sign up for our newsletter. So we can keep in touch, that you can pray for us more meaningfully. And also you are welcome to send us any question or prayer needs. We would love to pray for you as well. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. Jesus loved us and even gave his life for us. Let's love him. Let's love him by taking his love, his gospel, to all nations. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. So, do you have some questions?
Question.
Okay, sure. Okay. 10 minutes. Okay. Yeah. So we have about 10 minutes, and I would like to, you know, have some Q&A time, and if you have any question, yeah, you know, I will try my best. Hey, brother, we have two hands. May I start with brother? Yeah.
What does the Chinese government do? What does he do? What does his government do to attack or limit growth of Christianity in China?
The current our current president, actually, I'm not sure he was educated in America, but he came to Iowa. Actually, he was as a government official, spent some time in America, staying at a host family. He saw American way of life, and her daughter was actually educated in Harvard, and so he's quite familiar with American, democracies, whatever system, but to answer your question, really, it's more of when we understand as a communist state is basically authoritarian. It doesn't like any challenge or any even potential threat. That's why they don't like churches. I mean, there are a few reasons. First is that they don't like any organized activity because that's a potential threat. Secondly, that is the nationalism, because our current leader, I think a Time magazine or Newsweek put him as Chairman Mao 2.0, he's the second so he's very much like Chairman, very nationalistic, and nationalism is a very powerful thing to unite a country, to push a country forward, but that also means national means it's us, not you, not nobody else. So that means, that's the second reason, nationalism. Third is the foreign association of Christianity. As I mentioned earlier, when I was in high school, when I realized there must be something, but I said, if there were a God, it just could not be Christian God, because that kind of foreign association. When I became a Christian, in the first year I went home and for summer break, and my auntie asked me, "Are you an American spy?" No, so that kind of thing, they don't like Christianity, a few nationalism, foreign association, authoritarian government, and so that's something they don't like that. I think a fourth, actually, is even more important, is that who is Jesus? Jesus said, "I'm the truth," right? I'm the truth, okay, life, Dao Lu Zhen Li Sheng Ming, yeah, life and the way, right? What's Jesus say? The truth sets you free. So if Jesus is truth, he sets us free, that's a dangerous thing. Think about that, because that means you can think. You know what's wrong, what's right, and then that's very difficult. And I don't think the government mind and people, doing all the prostration, because no matter how many prostrations you do every day, you cannot really ask a Buddha to do something. The government doesn't care about it. It's not a threat to them. But when you know the truth, you know what's wrong, you don't have to believe what they tell you, that's dangerous. And well, that's my brother. I don't know if I answered your question or not. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
If Christians meet together and have a service, is that against the law? In other words, could they all be arrested and hauled off to prison for doing that? Do they have to do that in secret?
Well, good question, very good question. And we have, we call it two types of church in China. One is called government-sanctioned churches, but there are government-sanctioned churches, but very few. Most of Christians go to the house church, used to call the underground church, which is illegal, by law, but of course, China is not a land of law. So you get by, most of the time. It was a change, over the time. Prior to the end of, prior to 80s, It was very hard, very hard. There, any organized meeting, you know, is very, you know, Christians basically then would survive, basically survive. And they couldn't have hold any meeting. You know, if, and I met those uncles, and they told us, you know, during the night, they climb up, use a ladder to climb up their bin to get the Bible so they can read, you know, at night, and use a flashlight and put back afterwards. And so that's, you survive for your faith. But in 80s, 90s, you know, there are persecutions. And so if we get, you know, pastors, you know, Christians get, you know, raided by them, you know, pastor put in jail and or labor camp. And then, you know, but over in 2000, you know, 2000 and until a few years ago, no, it was pretty relaxed. Because especially in 2000, there was a big revival in cities where, you know, intellectuals, educated people, professionals become Christian, and they are more able to, they want to express themselves and exercise their freedom as their, you know, but of course, it's not always you can do that. But so the government taking a more softer, you know, more soft approach to them. But they do come to disturb you. They disturb Christian meetings. Of course, our church was affected, and but in general, you know, over that year, those years, and you know, government most of the time close their eyes. But you know, when there are campaigns, you know, again, you know, it's not a land of law; it's at the whim of our leader, right? So, for example, but Christians are good people, right? And they have very good witness. Testimony in their community. For example, I have a pastor friend, you know, Pastor Chai. You know, when the police want to raid him and arrest him, you know, police really tell him, Pastor Chai, I'm sorry, we really have to arrest you. We don't want to do that, but we have to obey the command, you know, to come to arrest you, because Pastor Chai helped them so much. There are abused women. There are abandoned, you know, orphans on the street, you know. People, when they found them, they bring them, they nowhere to bring them. So they brought those kids, you know, orphans or abused women to the police station. So the police didn't know what to do with them. So they sent to the church. So actually, the pastor said has quite a few kids, you know, and because they abandoned the infants. And so the police know they are really good people, but they really have to do that. So in general, what I say is that, again, China is a waffle, not a pancake. So we can hear all kinds of, you know, reports. It's to somewhere. And but our current leader is a bit tough on that. And so the because of nationalism, as I mentioned earlier, he doesn't really like so much West, you know, Western influence. Yeah. Any more questions? Yes, please.
Is he still read in China, or are there other authors and writers that created books that are popular, Christian books in China?
Craig, that's a good question, really. Watchman Nee, you know, you really delve into the very good Chinese tradition. Watchman Nee is still read, but not that many. He is very, very influential, of course. I think probably he's the deepest Chinese Christian thinker. His writings are read among the like a traditional house church who suffered greatly, you know, under the communists. But this group of Christians, they are our heroes. They are really our heroes. Their testimonies, their suffering really brought so much encouragement and inspiration to us. They are doing well, but they also tend to be a close-knit community. So, I mean, in a way, you understand, because the worst suffering they've gone through, they don't really trust people outside. They are great Christians. I know many of them. But his writing is still read. But there, you know. But for the more newer writing, Christian writing, I think we read more writings by overseas Chinese authors, because actually, Watchman Nee probably is the most prominent, mainland Chinese thinker. I can't think of anybody else after that than him. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to take one more question. Or? Sorry. We can ask later. Yeah.
Thank you for everything. And okay. Let's just all thank Daniel for coming and. Coffee break.